Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast, the Money, 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 Money edition, as we take a look at the big bucks the Bengals are reportedly shelling out in free agency. By the way, that Money, 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 Money song is my second favorite OJ's tune behind Backstabbers. My guest on this edition is NFL analyst Andy Benoit, formerly of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. He's as good as it gets at studying the tape and sharing his insights, and he'll weigh in on the four free agents the Bengals have reportedly signed. I stress reportedly because until they pass physicals and put pen to paper, NFL teams are not permitted to make official announcements. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing. It's the greatest thing since watching the 1975 World Series with your kid. Back in 2006, I purchased a DVD box set of the 1975 World Series, the classic seven-game showdown between the Reds and Red Sox. After making the purchase, I immediately watched Game 6, the Carlton Fisk home run game, but I had never gone back and relived the entire series until this week. I've been watching a game every night with my 13-year-old son, and we're having a ball. After this, we're planning on all seven games of a classic NBA Finals, and I'm sure we'll watch entire NFL games as well. The Freezer Bowl seems like a great place to start. So, if you miss watching live sporting events, and don't we all, it's a fun alternative. Now, let's get to this week's guest. For many years, Andy Benoit has been one of my favorite NFL analysts, and he's been a frequent guest on our Bengals radio shows. This week, after it was reported that the Bengals had reached a deal with free agent defensive tackle DJ Reader, Andy tweeted out video analysis for why he thinks it's such a valuable pickup. I reached out to Andy to get his thoughts on all four of the free agents that the Bengals have reportedly agreed to deals with, as well as the state of the linebacker position and the possibility of Andy Dalton winding up with the Patriots. Andy, when the Bengals signed DJ Reader, you tweeted out that it was a great, great signing by the Bengals, and the second great was in all caps. Why such a great pickup?
Well, first of all, I don't know how to italicize in Twitter. I don't even know if you can. So that's why I did all caps in the second great. But I think, for one, obviously Cincinnati badly, badly needed help in run defense, and Reader obviously fits that bill. But I think there's a lot more to him than what would meet the eye, and I've been guilty of this as well. You put on the film, you kind of just by default expect to see a guy who's a first and second down run defender, and he is a great one at that, but he can bring some juice to the pass rush. He's not going to be confused for Geno Atkins per se, but his ability to move left and right within confined areas is very good. He can penetrate and get up the field, and I think that's going to help a lot on their first and second down pass rush, because one thing Reader gives you, he'll line up at that nose shade position where he's kind of tilted over the center. He has a very good sense for how to transition from being a run defender to a pass rusher at that position from that spot. And that can be a deceptively valuable weapon, especially anymore with so many teams. Play action passing is now so common that you've got to be able to stop the pass on first and second down.
That sounds really unusual to me for somebody who's 347 pounds.
And that's why the Bengals paid him all that money. Guys like that at that size typically do not, they can't move as well as he does. And another thing, I met Reader at the Senior Bowl a few years ago, and the reason he was there is because the Houston Texans coaching staff, they were coaching one of the Senior Bowl teams, and Reader realized, hey, it's a chance to just go get some free coaching and be around. I'm allowed to do that. So he just went to the Senior Bowl to be around coaches to get that much more exposure to football. I was like in his second or third season. So that's the kind of guy the Bengals have signed.
What does that addition mean to Geno, to Carlos Dunlap, and the other guys up front?
You know, someone's going to get double teamed because typically it's four-man rush versus five-man protection. you know, in the run game, it's a little bit different. And even though I'm saying Reader's a great pass rusher for what he is, you're still signing him primarily for your run defense. I don't know against the run if it makes a huge difference for those guys, because run plays tend to just be based on the structure of the defense, and we're going to double team near the ball and work up or whatever it is we're going to do. It's more in pass protection where you really focus on, hey, how do we take away Dunlap? What do we do to stop Geno Atkins? So to answer your question, Dan, that answer becomes a function of how often will Reader be on the field in obvious passing situations. And let's say he's on for 10 snaps a game in obvious pass situations, which would be a lot, but he did that at times in Houston. I would imagine he's not going to draw the extra attention in and of himself many of those times, if at all. So, you know, as great as he is, I don't know if it makes a big difference for a Geno Atkins or a Carlos Dunlap, other than just that they have one extra good pass rusher around them. And I'd be interested to know if the Bengals feel they can do stunts and twists with Reader, because that could help Atkins and Dunlap. You can certainly do that against the run, where you start them out in one gap and have them defend another gap. Against the pass, that's a little bit of a different story, but I would imagine the Bengals are having these discussions right now.
Our guest is Andy Benoit, NFL analyst. The Bengals have also reportedly signed two cornerbacks who were the Minnesota Vikings, Trey Waynes to play on the outside and Mackenzie Alexander to play in the slot. What did you think of each guy, and have the Bengals upgraded their secondary?
Yes, I think they have upgraded the secondary, especially considering they were playing with some backups last year in that spot. Both guys had fine careers in Minnesota, stellar careers, but the hard reality is also, you know, their first time they've been free agents, and the team that drafted them, Trey Waynes was a first-round pick, Mackenzie Alexander was a second-rounder. The team that drafted him with that high of a draft capital didn't re-sign them. So obviously their careers in Minnesota were not great, but I think Waynes, I know the Vikings felt he was their top cover corner last year. Alexander's a pretty classic pure slot guy. Both of those guys are experienced in zone coverage, which the Vikings do a lot, and that's the way Cincinnati is typically played.
The Bengals released right guard John Miller and have reportedly signed Xavier Suafilo. Is that an upgrade?
Well, Suafilo's typically played on the left side in his career, and I'm sure that's where he's most comfortable. That doesn't mean he can't play on the right. But what's always stood out with Suafilo, he's not a very strong player physically. He's gotten better in that sense. There's no question he got better a few years ago there, but that's not his strength. What you want with Suafilo, the reason you'd pay him, is he's a very mobile run blocker. And when he does what they call gap scheme runs, where you're pull blocking, he is very good at staying tight to the line of scrimmage. He's a highly efficient pull blocker. Now, I don't know if Suafilo would be as good of a puller if he's pulling from the right guard spot versus the left. And when I say I don't know, I mean I don't know. We haven't seen it. But overall, Dan, I do think it's still an upgrade. I mean, the Bengals, they didn't have far to go to upgrade along their offensive line. That was a real problem area for them last year.
We're talking to Andy Benoit. You can follow him on Twitter and see some great video analysis at Andy_Benoit, B-E-N-O-I-T. Getting back to the offensive line, Jonah Williams, we assume he'll be back and healthy at left tackle. The Bengals are hoping that Michael Jordan and Fred Johnson can make progress in year two. Are those the building blocks of an offensive line that should be significantly better?
Well, I think Williams in theory can be a building block, though. To be honest, I think it's difficult to build around a tackle in today's NFL for your offensive line. Really, the guys that make a difference, and when you're talking about, when you say building block, in my mind's eye, Dan, I see, okay, guys that are influencing the scheme, guys that are bringing the dynamic traits to how we play, what's happening after the snap. Really, that comes from the guard position. And so if you want to change the makeup of your line, signing a really good guard can do that. Tackles, in my opinion, the reason they get paid is because they're the insurance policy to protect your quarterback. And that's a very important role. So Williams can be the building block in the sense that they have a guy at left tackle they can feel comfortable with, probably get more guys out in routes because they're not having to help their line quite as much if he's in there. But those other guys, to me, are puzzle piece players. And I imagine, and I'm sure the Bengals would feel fine, especially with Jordan going into this season. But I would imagine that their scouting department, their assistant coaches, are still keeping an eye on what kind of guards are available. That, to me, that'd still be a draft need for them.
Let's talk about linebacker. The Bengals reportedly got outbid for Joe Schobert and Nick Kwiatkowski. They have Jermaine Pratt and really some special teams guys on the roster right now. Are there any free agent linebackers still out there that you like?
Last I heard, as we're recording this, I believe Alec Ogletree is still available. I've liked him a lot. I think he got better as a Ram over his career. He became a more alert and reliable player, and he can still move very well. And the Giants saw that last year. So Ogletree, he's not going to go all pro or anything like that, but he would be a drastic upgrade versus what they've had in the past few years. The linebacker market did kind of get cleaned out pretty quickly, though. I think a lot of the top linebackers were signed early in this process.
No question about that. The Bengals reportedly have spent, nothing's final until the physicals are done, but $53 million on Reader, $42 million on Waynes, $4 million for 1 year on Alexander. So that's $99 million on the defensive line and the secondary, nothing yet on linebacker. What is the relative importance of that position in the current NFL?
Well, if you're strong at your D-line and your secondary, I think you can help your linebackers and kind of plug them in a little bit, especially since if you're going to be a zone defense, which the Bengals are. Now, having said that, you feel a little bit like you're playing with fire when you talk about this team in that regard, because there were times last year where their linebackers really immensely struggled. And so I would not blame the Bengals at all for almost overcorrecting in that position, because they just were they really struggled at linebacker at times. So you can plug them in theory, but you can't. You've got to have you don't need the high, let's put it this way, Dan. You don't need the highest ceiling with your linebackers in that kind of scheme, given what they have at the other spots. But you do need a higher floor than what they've had recently.
A few more questions for NFL analyst Andy Benoit. Do you have a few best moves so far in NFL free agency and worst moves so far in NFL free agency?
Some of the trades I think I've really liked, like Buckner from the 49ers to the Colts. I thought that was a trade that really benefited both teams given their respective cap and situations and their draft capital. I like it when you see trades that benefit both sides. Does it seem like we're getting a lot more trades than we used to?
Yes.
Yeah, so that makes it more exciting. That certainly makes it more exciting. Some of the trades you scratched your head at a little bit. I'm probably in the group of people that have wondered a little bit about why the DeAndre Hopkins trade went the way it did. But, you know, we don't know any of this stuff till we see how all of these guys fit with their new team. And I learned a good lesson last year, Dan, with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, especially Preston Smith. I didn't think that those were great signings by the Packers. I liked Za'Darius Smith as a Raven, but I didn't think throwing all that money at him and Preston Smith was worthwhile. And obviously, the biggest difference in Green Bay's defense this year, and it's a defense that helped them go to the NFC Championship, was having those two guys. So the right free agent can do a lot for you. The problem is most teams, though, they bat about 250 on their free agent signings.
Is there a quarterback the Patriots should pursue, in your opinion?
Well, we have to remember, and it's going to maybe be different because we still have the draft to account for, and there could be other opportunities to get guys. But as of right now, their wide receiving core is very limited. So they're going to be dependent on play design as much as anything. So a guy like Jameis Winston, to me, whose value, if you can curtail the interceptions, and that's a big if, his value is his ability to work the ball downfield at the deeper intermediate levels. That's not the kind of quarterback that would suit New England right now, because they're going to be dinking and dunking like they have in recent years, trying to feature Julian Edelman and line up in ways that help their wide receiver. So a serviceable guy that you trust to run the offense and play on schedule by design, that's the kind of quarterback they ought to be looking for. Now, who is that guy? I know a lot of people have suggested maybe Andy Dalton. In theory, that could be the right kind of fit. to me, we'll put it this way, because Dalton and Winston are kind of the two that are left standing right now. Dalton is a better fit than Winston is.
He's available.
You know, these guys become available for a reason as well. It's rare, and I know Tom Brady just hit the market, and that's what makes it rare, but it's rare, especially a quarterback, to find a flawless or even a not-so-flawed specimen just sitting out there waiting to be signed.
Last question for NFL analyst Andy Benoit. You came to Cincinnati last year during OTAs and shadowed Zach Taylor for a day. You were in his office. You were in the meeting rooms. You spent time at his house. Do you see his fingerprints on what the Bengals have been doing in the offseason?
That's hard to say, because to be honest, they had so many areas that needed correcting, especially on defense. And obviously, Zach Taylor runs the offense primarily from a schematic standpoint. So I don't know if I would say I see his fingerprints yet. I imagine we will once the draft rolls around. But the roster that Taylor inherited, it wasn't an awful roster, but it was one that still needed updating. And think of it like this. You buy a house from the mid-90s. Yeah, it's not grossly outdated, but we're going to have to update it anyway. We might as well do it sooner than later. That's kind of what the Bengals roster was like for Zach Taylor last year. So they took a step back in order to take a step forward, and they're in the very early stages right now of that step forward, per se. So I don't see his fingerprints on it a whole lot yet, but I think we will by the end of this spring, and certainly next year we'll start to see that.
He's likely to have his quarterback on April 23rd.
Yeah, that'll help. Getting that quarterback helps you figure out where to put the other fingerprints.
Andy, this has been great. Always enjoy chatting with you. Thanks for the insight.
Anytime, Dan. Thanks.
One final note. As I mentioned early in the podcast, NFL teams are not permitted to comment about their free agent additions until physicals are completed and contracts are signed. As soon as that gets done, head coach Zach Taylor has agreed to talk to me about it and other off-season maneuvering. So even though this is typically a once-a-week podcast in the off-season, there could be another edition coming very soon. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, and if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.